Okay. Snakes in Hillary's hair turn Benghazi committee to stone. What do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we learn to be less stupid with the New Yorker's Patricia Marks, plus all the news that isn't, and then we tuck in our shirts for a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's hoping to work the passing asteroid into his Halloween porch, Michael Feldman.
Oh, my mother's lamp and not Kroger. Pulling around. Okay, a little behind-the-scenes thing. We'll edit this out of the show. This will never happen. I will never knock over my mother's lamp while lying as if I were taking psychiatry. All right, so anyhow, yeah, Benghazi. How many of you watched the Benghazi committee? Okay, let's see. No, applaud, because it's a free radio and you can't actually see it. All right, how many watched 1 hour? How many watched 2 hours? Applause. Yeah. How many watched 3 hours? 4 hours? 3 hours? At least 3 hours? What does she win? For 3 hours of the Benghazi committee.
Well, let's see.
Bottle of wine. Come on. It's a no-brainer.
Oh, I was going to give her the 9 hallmarks of highly incompetent losers by Pat Reeder. But we could do wine instead.
Yeah.
How about
what would you rather have, the 9 incompetent losers or a bottle of wine? I said a bottle of wine.
No, I was busy. See, my house is open.
Your house is open.
And I just kept working.
Wait a second. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to put you at a disadvantage here, but you listen to it more than anyone else, at least in this room. So what?
So, yeah.
What are you asking me?
I don't know. I was asking you what you were saying.
Well, you asked me how long I watched it.
Yeah. You said at least 3 hours.
At least I was interested.
Yeah.
I wanted to see really, because I think that this is an example of our boys overseas, and if they call for help and nobody responds, what then? So this is a serious matter, and I think everybody ought to be aware of what's going on.
Yeah, okay.
So anyhow,
What is your name, by the way?
My name? Yeah. Must I?
That's the first name.
Joan, that's good enough.
That's what they call her, Joan, that's good enough, ladies and gentlemen. And 3 hours, and any conclusions from watching at least 3 hours?
Yes. I really think that the truth hasn't come out, that it's spun around to make people look good. And, we need to be really conscious of all of this stuff. I've got a grandson that's in the reserve. If he gets called up, I want somebody there and watching his back. And that's what we all need.
Very good. Thank you very much. All right.
Well, Joan, for telling it like it is, how about a bottle of Domaine du Sec from the Wollersheim Winery?
There should be something.
Winner of the 2015 Riverside International Wine Competition.
That sort of kills off my Lilliputians fail to stake Hillary down crack and Benghazi and Harriet, which I liked. For the older crowd. I thought Hillary did a good job, though. Actually, the only miscue she might have had in the whole thing when she was asked about her emails, and she said, depends on what you mean by E. So Bill was obviously coaching her. All right, let's see now. And all the non-Hilgazi news that isn't. Next for the House, the Cubghazi Committee. By the way, the Cubs asked that no flowers be sent, but all contributions to Cubs care, gratefully accepted. And if you can play shortstop, definitely stop on down. Let them know who you are. You know, it takes the Chicago Cubs to make the Mets the Yankees. Bernie is up the ante. Now free college and refunds to all of us who already paid. You're very close to getting my vote on that one. Joe Biden abandons his presidential quest and will run for House Speaker. And he's just got to change chairs at the State of the Union, so it's really easy for him. Paul Ryan's demands for Speaker. Long weekends off, Gulf Fridays, and all the major and minor holidays with the family. So he'll end up, of course, he'll be Speaker of the family instead of the House. what this means, as far as Paul Ryan is, of course, all government shutdowns must occur by noon Friday at the latest. By the way, all those those shots of his kids looking so excited on the airport there, the plane touchdown, they were really happy to see the flight attendant. He was just in the same shot. So. Okay, after saying Iowans are brain damaged from the Monsanto in the corn, Trump's handlers tell him ixnay on the ornke in Iowa. Trump only responds to Pig Latin. I don't know if you knew that. Dissing corn could be Trump's Waterloo, Iowa. A confident Trump, however, takes out the casino gaming license for 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I'm waiting for Melania's White House tour. Have you seen the missus? I want the DVD rights. Adele has a new album out, Farmer Inn. Adele? Do I have to tell you people everything? Obviously, if she has a new album, it'll be called Farmer Inn. Adele. A woman who can smell Parkinson's disease has zero social life. Secret Service agents caught awake on the job. Build a bear, a whole different joke if it's build a bean. Can't read my writing here, that's an R. Build a bear workshops charged with selling stuffed bear livers to the Chinese. Oprah doubles down on Weight Watchers. The GOP is gutting Obamacare. That would, in fact, ironically send all those gutted to the ER. Overwhelming the ER with gutted individuals. Dad had a Lincoln Chafee. Okay, well, that's about what it's worth. Thank you. Jim Webb, AWOL. Flaming liberal wins in up north there, so as prime minister, so bids go out on the Great Wall of Canada. See, Walker was extremely right. And finally, confused and dithering, Jeb Bush calls Trump the false zombie front runner. And that's a quote. That's all the news that is, and thank you so much. And more power to you. And to us all. Patty Marks is in New York City. I don't think that's unusual for her. She writes for The New Yorker, and she's pretty New York-centered. Central New York, I would say. She's got a new book out here called Less Be, Less Stupid. Or something like that. And it's an attempt to maintain her mental faculties. And she's with us right now from New York. And hey, Patty Marks, how are you?
That's such a hard question. I'm going to go with fine. How are you?
And it should be Patricia now. I mean, are you using the Patricia as a...
After I wrote this book, I got so smart, I changed my name from Patty to Patricia.
Yeah, cool.
And now I'm a storm.
Yeah, really? There's a bandwagon effect?
Most powerful storm, which I guess means I'm a...
You mean the storm, yeah, heading to Mexico.
I just made landfall in Mexico.
Yeah. What does eidetic mean?
Oh, God, I looked it up so many times. How soon do you have to know?
All right, that's fine. That's a good answer. Because this is about, you feel like you're losing, like you're only 29 years old, according to your bio. How many faculties could you lose in 7 years since you were 22?
As I say, 29, the truth is I'm pretty much as old as most speed limits in the country. I think I've proven
you're 75, honestly?
Is that what it is?
Yes. No. You're unlimited in Wyoming?
Unlimited, yeah. But yeah. when I go through intersections, I get very young.
Well, now, were you seriously concerned about your mental faculties just because you couldn't remember a few things? Is that what happened?
Well, serious isn't in my repertoire.
Okay,
but
sorry.
But I was worried because I was starting a lot of sentences. What's the word for, you know, that thing, the thing that you put in the thing?
Yeah.
And also there were a lot of sentences of where did I put my... So, yeah. And I would have conversations with friends, and we would compete about who was losing their mind faster. Like, no, you don't have to worry. I really have to worry. No, you're fine. I have to worry. And you realize you're competing to be a loser.
Yeah.
So you want to win.
Well,
so
have you gotten to this point yet? I actually, if I have a good meal, which I prepared for myself, I thank the plate.
Well, I've apologized to walls and things. I haven't thanked the plate yet. Maybe I haven't had a good meal yet.
Yeah, possibly. Well, let me know when you get to that stage. I'm way ahead of you on this thing, so I know what's happening.
Well, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who won by saying, have you put toothpaste on your contact lenses yet? And I wasn't even sure if I had contact lenses, but yeah. I won.
How could you even do that by mistake? That makes no sense, though.
Yeah, she just wanted to win, right?
She just wanted to win. So now, did you approach this scientifically then, scientifically to improve your mental faculties?
Do I seem like a scientist? No, what I did was I live with a scientist, though, who made fun of me the whole time. Yeah.
Yes.
He'll come up later in the conversation if you ask the right question.
Okay, we'll see. I'll try not to then. I don't want to talk about
what
him.
What I did was I read as many books as I could and made lists of all of the things they told you to do to... delay your cognitive decline or even get smarter, and I did as many of them as I could. First, I took my IQ,
yeah,
and I did that after my Get Smart program, and I had my brain image before and after.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what I did?
Yes. No, I'm sorry. Did I interrupt?
No, I think I interrupted myself.
No, go now. Go. Did you hear a voice? Because I didn't say anything.
Oh, you know what? The other thing about it, as you said, I live in New York, and I can't hear a word because they've decided outside my window to, like, build the pyramid or a lake or something. So,
well, there's a big difference between a pyramid and a lake, so that's another sign, I would have to say. Let's talk about IQ for just a second here now, because you do actually provide sort of an IQ cheat sheet in the book, which is nice of you.
Mm-hmm. Cheating is my thing.
Yeah. Did you study for the IQ test?
I studied so much for the IQ test. You can't really study, but I did study. The first IQ test I took, I took online because you usually score about 28 points higher. Well, math doesn't sound right. You score higher, let's just say higher, usually than when a professional does it. So I took the IQ test, and I was just sailing along thinking, this is so easy. My mother is right. I am a genius. This is unbelievable. I'm acing it. And then I press the button to find out how smart I am, and I have an IQ that is 74, which is like, it would be like a miracle that I put my socks on.
Yeah. No, you're subnormal. That's not a bad thing.
I know. Well, it turns out that it was a time test, and you had 20 minutes, and I took all day. I voted for mayor. So I deserved it, you could say, 74.
Yeah.
I was lucky to get it, really.
Did you retake it?
I had a professional take my IQ. You had to bring in number two pencils. And then I did my stuff for 4 months. You know, I learned Cherokee. I learned piano scales. I zapped electricity into my brain. I tried to meditate. I flunked that. And then I took my IQ test again, and it went down.
It dropped from 70.
Good job, right? No, well, no. It got higher when the professional did it. And then I went. I had an MRI taken before and after, and the MRI was sort of more promising because the technician gave me my textures, which like looked like chewing gum. The brain looked like chewing gum or a tomato or something.
Yeah.
And she said, and your brain got 33% bigger. And then that scientist boyfriend of mine, I told him, and he laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. And he said, if that were true, your brain would be coming out of your oozing, I think was the word he said, oozing out of your nose and your ears and your mouth. And you can't see me, but it's not.
Yeah. And yet your brain does seem to ooze out of your mouth oftentimes.
Yeah, it does.
I've noticed.
If I try to catch it, I wear a brain guard.
Yeah.
In my mouth. And then the other thing he did was he gave me to just discredit MRIs entirely, he gave me an article that described an experiment scientists did where they gave salmon, dead salmon, and they put a dead salmon on an MRI machine, and then showed the dead salmon pictures of human faces. And then they asked dead salmon, what emotions are being conveyed by these pictures? And the dead salmon, there was brain activity.
Now, let me, in summary, you have the brain activity of a dead salmon, is what you're saying.
I'm hoping.
Let's back up here just for a second and try it a different way here. I was interested, by the way, you have a list of people with IQs.
Right. Oh, yeah. Almost everybody has an IQ.
Almost everyone has it. And everyone is as smart as you thought they were, except for Andy Warhol. Did you notice that? Andy Warhol has actually a surprisingly low.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are more or less the same.
Yeah.
Of course, I got this information as I got so much of my information off the Internet, so it's entirely unreliable.
Yeah. Is it fair to say this book is totally bogus?
That's what my standard is, yeah.
Should be 1,003 things about your brain or something. All right, let's go. Oh, wait, I want to try and approach this a different way here. Oh, by the way, Lisa Simpson is actually smarter than Jonathan Swift. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's right. And on the same page.
Yeah.
My book.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Oh, yes, she is.
Yeah. By the way, this is totally off topic here, but you are the reason Rugrats was so Jewish. Rugrats was the only cartoon where they celebrated Hanukkah.
Oh, I'm so proud.
Yeah, because there are all these little talking babies and stuff, crawling babies and stuff, and my kids used to watch it all the time, and it's Hanukkah on the Rugrats. That was you.
You know how Jewish I am? When I grew up, we were allowed to stay out of school in Rosh Hashanah, but we called it Rosh Hashapa because we got to go shopping.
Boy, if that ain't a sin, nothing is. Holy cow. See you on the Day of Atonement, Patty Marks.
Yeah. And I went to a synagogue, and for confirmation, we performed Jesus Christ Superstar at the synagogue.
Okay, let's get back on topic.
This is, let's go back to my brain.
What part of it should we look? How about you had the cranial electrostimulation, and did you do that at home?
A little device, and it looked like a garage door opener. And it was attached to two little sponges the size of like an Oreo that you wet. Mm-hmm. So water would go down your cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
And in a reverse children and women first principle, I gave it to my boyfriend to use first.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave him a headache, which I thought was kind of hopeful because, you don't really care if it's doing something bad. You just want it to work.
Right.
Right? So then I used it.
Mm-hmm.
And it made everything look like a disco in a little way, which was fine. Like your lights flashing on and off. And I did it for 20 minutes. I did it for 40 minutes every day. And as I said, my IQ went down. What can I tell you?
Yeah. Your brain got bigger, but your IQ went down. So there's probably pressure, cranial pressure lowered your IQ, swelling in your brain.
Something did. It could have been the Cherokee or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Or the physical exercise.
All right, let's deal with the Cherokee right now. Learning Cherokee, or because it's so complex a language, can actually improve your brain function. Is that the idea?
Learning any language can improve your brain function. Mm-hmm. Apparently, except Cherokee, it turns out. But doing anything you don't want to is really good for your brain. You know, learning anything is good for your brain because your brain, as we all know, is plastic.
Okay, but Cherokee keeps coming up, so why Cherokee?
Well, if you really want the truth, I learned Cherokee because I thought it was Navajo. and I wanted to learn Navajo because it is the mm-hmm. the language that they use to break the code.
The code breakers, yeah.
Or, yeah. So. Turned out they did use Cherokee a little. I don't really know it enough to break the code.
Okay. So it was mistaken language mm-hmm. use, or and your friend.
I also wanted to learn something that hardly anybody could test me on.
Yeah. Was it conversational Cherokee, or is it just?
Yeah, I could like order things in a Cherokee restaurant.
Could you give us an example, Patty, of ordering something in Cherokee?
No, I could not do that.
And you're, yeah, because I know your French is only good in countries that are not French speaking. Is that true?
Yeah, is that true? For you? Well, no, I learned French.
Yeah.
Learned is really an overstatement.
Yeah.
I took French in high school. Mm. I mean, many years.
Much French. And
what French?
Très, very much French.
Très French. We just took French on high school.
All right, stop it.
Okay. I can say something. You want me
no.
to say?
Say something in French. Sure, what the heck?
French. I'm going to say something in Cherokee.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to say gagayu. Do you know what that means?
No.
I bet you don't.
No.
Well, it kind of means I love you, but it really means more than just that. It means you're like, I will surrender my happiness for you. I will give it you up my bus seat, but I won't let you share my food with me or something. It means.
Yeah. So is this your relationship in a nutshell or what?
Well, no. I also know hello, see you. We're getting to the end of what I know.
Hello is see you?
She you.
Oh, she you.
She you.
She you. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, now let's go on. Oh, pills. Now, there are all kinds of pills. There are brain pills. There are exercise pills coming up. You think you're going to use that when that comes around?
They're working on an exercise pill. They're also working on a pill that you take that will allow you to learn anything, basically. Learn a language the way, you know, a six-year-old learns a language, which is much better than the way we learn it.
What is that?
I can't wait because I hate... Well, everybody kind of agrees, when I say everybody, I mean the scientists, of which I'm one, agree that the things that help your brain are physical exercise, mm-hmm. reducing stress, and I can't remember the third.
Inducing or reducing?
Oh, inducing would be good. Causing stress in other people. Reducing stress and social engagement. And I forget where I'm... Oh, so I hate physical exercise because I like to sit down. I was hoping that they would say sitting down would... improve your brain, but it doesn't.
No.
No.
Oh, was there more to that? You're in the middle of...
I can't remember where.
Oh, okay, all right. All right, so anyhow, and then there's fish oil. Is that fish oil that people take?
Fish oil. I took fish oil because it was an easy thing to do, but fish oil is kind of on the downs now. I don't think they think fish oil as much. I took mental clarity pills because it was only $36 on Amazon. As I proved, they didn't do a thing.
Was that the same thing as the fish oil? Was that the same, the mental clarity? Was it actually just fish oil?
No, mental clarity is like anything they could find in the kitchen and they put it in a pill.
Okay. And perfect pitch pill, did you try that?
I didn't try that.
Yeah.
Did you?
No,
I didn't find it Amazon.
It's mentioned in
where I shop.
It's mentioned in your book. Did you realize that or had you forgotten that?
Oh, I meant to read my book.
Because if you have perfect pitch, that would be an IQ thing too, sir, wouldn't it? Or you get IQ points for that.
Well, you know, you've read my book.
Your book is about the strangest book on the subject. Okay. And blueberries.
Thank you.
Blueberries.
blueberries are good for you, of course. Chocolate's good for you. But then I thought, I'd rather be stupid than fat, so I gave up on the chocolate. Chocolate's good for you. Blueberries are good for everything. It turns out that the same things that are good for your heart and everything else are good for your brain. So they
Let me ask you this.
Eat blueberries. Eat salmon. Dead, obviously.
Yeah. Because they're still experiencing life as we know
it. Right. Yeah. And don't frown because they'll know as you're taking it.
Yeah. So the Guggenheim grant that you got, was it after this book came out or before?
Just before, the day before. And I made sure that they couldn't take it back.
And then explain to me what Lumosity is.
Lumosity is a company that most people, you were really smart, because most people, even that work there, call it Luminosity.
Yeah.
And they're a gigantic company. They're in more countries than exist in the world. And everybody I know does their brain exercise. And all sorts of games. And at first you feel terrible because you get a really, really low mark. And then you do it for a long time. I told you I'm a cheater, so I would cheat. If I was doing badly on a game, I would start again. I would pretend that my connection didn't work or something. And you get very good at Lumosity if you keep doing it. And you get so good you want to brag to people who don't care what your Lumosity score is.
Yeah. So what is it that you're looking at?
Oh, you're doing things like... my favorite, a really hard one is they have little raindrops with arithmetic equation problems in it, and you have to quickly answer them all before the raindrops fall. And it's things that you know, but a lot, I like to time things. You have to remember mazes. You have to get a penguin to the iceberg in a maze that keeps revolving.
Oh.
You have to... Sadly, the one I did best at was the one where you were a waitress and you had to remember what horrible foods everybody ordered. what else did they have? I don't know. Lots.
Okay, so that's Lumosity.
Penguins that you have to get, not penguins, frogs. Frogs that you have to get on the brown frog on the brown rock, the green frog on the green. Am I boring you with Lumosity?
Yes? Only very slightly.
Okay.
Let me ask you this, then. Let's go to something slightly different.
I can do better.
No. Larger breast to waist ratio. How does that come into play?
Well, it turns out that there are all sorts of weird things. Women who have large breasts compared to their waist score higher on cognitive tests than do less curvaceous types. And
is there any explanation for that, or we just take that on faith?
You know, I think the answer is always evolution, but I don't know how that would... It's always evolution or in brain things you can say protein, and that works a lot.
Yeah.
Or
so you're saying that breasts have grown larger over the years for cognition purposes?
No, I'm going to guess that it has something to do with they... No, that doesn't make any sense.
Can you finish it before?
You just have to trust me on that. It does have something, maybe, you know, childbearing, you know, they're better at childbearing, but I don't know.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Were you able to meditate? You don't seem meditative.
I can meditate. I hate meditation.
Yeah.
It was making me anxious. Can you meditate?
No, I'm terrible at it.
But, you know, and don't you kind of suspect that all the people that they say they meditate get together and just say, let's just tell them it's really good for themselves.
Yeah.
So that they'll just get out of your way. You'll get out of their way.
Well, I even took, like, yogic meditation, you know, and, you know, the 1,000-petaled lotus.
Uh-huh.
Not one petal. I didn't get, like, one petal didn't open up for me.
I paid a woman a lot of money to teach me how to meditate, and she gave me a raisin, and she said, just, you know, study the raisin, and if you study the raisin, then you will know all there is to know about everything.
Yeah.
That is a big if.
I know. At least you didn't cut your cat in half with a sword.
At least I didn't do that yet. Is that what you did?
No, but, you know, it can lead to that. They do have this thing now.
Thank God I got out of that meditating racket in time.
Yeah, it saved your cat. I saw on a magazine, there is a meditation feedback headphone that you can wear that supposedly gives you, when you're supposed to go into your meditation thing, and every time you think about something else, a buzzer goes off, which has got to be counterproductive.
It is, yeah. Except for the buzzer, I guess.
Yeah.
There, and then I, even in my book, as you know, because you read it, which is something I haven't done, I have a list of words that you have to figure out if they're mantras or Indian bread.
Oh, I love that. That's my favorite part of the whole book.
Mm-hmm. I flunked. I have a lot of quizzes in my book, and I can't do any of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't do any of them either, so that's okay.
Yeah.
The difference between mantras and types of Indian bread. Can you give us some examples? Because this is really a cool notion.
Okay. Let's see if you can figure them out, because I can't. Okay. What is Kheema Naan? It's an easy one.
Type of bread.
Right. What is Ram Naam?
Type of bread.
Mantra.
No.
What is Shyam?
Bread.
Mantra. I could be...
I'm just going to say bread every time, so I'm right there.
You'll get it. Okay. Let's see how good you are. Yeah. Aloo Paratha.
Obviously bread.
Right, correct.
You're okay, that's
smarter.
Enough for me. I think I made my
case.
You're
getting so smart.
I am getting so smarter. You know, isn't it ironic that as you age, you've accumulated a vast trove of knowledge that you can no longer access? That's the
Unless
most frustrating.
You have a smartphone.
You can put it on the smartphone, but, you know.
Well, no,
still got to learn how to work the thing.
There is an optimistic theory, which I like to believe, that says the reason we're getting stupider is that we're actually getting so smarter, that we're inundated. We know so much.
Right.
It's like a drawer where you put so much junk that you can't find the laundry receipt. So it's really time to unlearn things.
Yes. And put our receipts somewhere else, I think. You learn these little tricks. You put your receipt, you just leave it in your hand.
Yeah.
And clutch it at all times, and you always have your receipt. They get pretty water, logged and stuff.
But you have it.
Patty Marks, thank you so much. The book is Let's Be Less Stupid.
Thank you.
And thank you for the Rugrats. We loved it. Patty Marks, get the book. She's Patricia now, but get it anyway. Okay. No. Drop. I put her on hold, and you can figure that out, can't you? Wow. Lyle Anderson, ladies and gentlemen, the man there you see behind the booth. Do not tap on the booth. Do not tap on his glass because it arouses him.
Don't feed him either.
Don't feed him.
No.
Well, you can't. There's a glass. So, okay, hi.
Hi.
Okay. Jeff, you too. Hi.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, hi.
Jeff says hi, Michael.
Hey. Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
John?
He says hey.
Yeah. Any gigs coming up you want to promote? Or?
Well, we got a gig today, but
yeah.
It's...
Oh, what is it?
Well, it's a private thing, but...
Private thing, what is it?
Habitat for Humanity, little...
Habitat for Humanity, where?
At Discovery World in Milwaukee on the lakefront.
Really? Are you playing at a building site?
We're playing in a tent, actually.
In a tent, at a building site?
No, I don't think it's at a building site.
Okay.
It's not my gig, but...
What time and...
Well, it's not a public...
I know, but what time?
Later this afternoon.
At a building site? On the lakefront in Milwaukee? Down at the lake?
Yeah.
Yes. Jeff has something he wants to add.
I'll be playing after that.
Jeff will be playing after that.
He'll be playing after that.
At
9 p.m.
At the
County Clare.
Oh, he's flying to Ireland.
In Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee, sorry.
Yeah, County Clare is a nice place, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. All right, so in this tune here, John, there's a very interesting story about this.
Yes, very interesting.
Yeah.
Really, really interesting.
Yeah. Tell it, won't you?
Fascinating, really, what it is.
What are you playing? Yeah. This song really opened a lot of people's minds to what jazz could be, I think.
Yeah, actually, it did.
It really did.
Yeah.
It really did.
It's from the, the Peanuts... cartoon thing.
From the Peanuts cartoon thing, which is a high IQ builder, by the way. Peanuts always was. Yes.
It's the Great Pumpkin Waltz.
The Great Pumpkin Waltz. John Tooling, Jeff Hammond on the bass.
once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Because I'm just saying, when John tends to vamp on a little thing, whatever you call it, it's from a totally different song, like cartoon theme or something like that. Or, you know, Raindrops and Roses, and he's playing some other song. You know, you go to something, right? Am I right? Yes. Never mind, you had to be here to understand. And even then, you wouldn't understand. Becky Douglas, are you my dad? Becky Douglas, Rockford, Illinois. I've been to Rockford. I took a tour of the screw plant in Rockford Screw. But that's a stretch. Becky Douglas. Hi, Becky Douglas. I don't know. You look strangely familiar. And yet I don't believe we've met. Stand up here a second. Is this your water? I can knock that over, too. There we go. Don't stand up here a second. What do you think? Okay. I'm going to deny it in court. I don't care. Yeah.
Understood.
Yeah. What brings the question?
Actually, that was a little bit of a disingenuous question.
You didn't think I was your dad.
No, my husband actually was the author of that one.
Oh, you did.
There's no truth to that.
Where did that come from on your part?
She always asks that question.
You're always thinking about it.
No.
Yeah, he says you do.
I really don't.
He says you really do. I don't want to get in on this issue here because I'm at the center of it. So, yeah. And this other thing, a retired escort.
No.
You're not gonna tell me that was him too.
It really was.
That was not me.
I think there should be a screening system for these cards. I don't think this is a title.
This is it. We got to go there and thank you.
Great enough system, I think.
Well, thank you for clearing it up.
Thank you.
Not your dad, and you never worked as an escort. Okay, too bad. I thought we had a really interesting conversation there. Otherwise, Elaine Hernandez from Monona. Oh, that's you. Okay. Your nearest guest may be behind you, ladies and gentlemen, so be careful. Did you stand up here? Oh, well, can't you stand up here? Yes, from San Antonio, right? At Monona. Yeah.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
What do you got there?
Oh, your phone, okay.
I had my video camera with me.
Yeah, it's supposed to be on aeroplane setting.
Well, that's what you say.
Yeah.
Do you have an aeroplane setting on your phone? Do you use it when you're on an aeroplane?
No.
Okay. They don't ever put their phone on. What's the point? They're going to hear your phone going off on an airplane. You think so?
It makes the plane crash because the magic waves go through the wings. I don't know.
Get back up here. I wasn't done with you, young lady. So if you don't put on airplane, the plane will crash. If your phones are not all in the airplane setting. Okay, thank you. I didn't even realize that. You should write a book now because she could do that based on adventure. All it says on your card is adventure.
That's all it matters, adventure.
Are you into adventure?
Yes.
On all levels?
That's way to be seen, yeah. Why don't you ask these beautiful ladies about it?
Yeah, yes, know, but yes. Adventure.
Yes, all kinds of stuff.
What do you do?
Well, I travel whenever I can. I live where two places.
You live in Monona, adventurous Monona. San Antonio, I could see the adventure down there. That'd be cool.
And just enjoy being all over the place, the world. Next big trip will be Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm sure some of you have been there, but...
No, my daughter was there.
Lake Titicaca?
Yeah. So. She got a tattoo on the way up to Machu Picchu. It was my daughter, she could write adventure on her card, too, I guess.
Yeah. Yes.
Are you a type A?
Well, what would you say? No, I don't think so.
No? Do you do, extreme sports kind of thing?
I've done a triathlon before. A sprint one, though.
A quadathlon, that would be extreme.
She does extreme tubing.
Extreme tubing. What would that be? Well, something involving a tube.
Well, yeah, down the Wisconsin River. We've done, this wonderful group has done, with, we
that
do
that
every
new
year.
Tubing?
No.
Did you go past Mazomani?
I have been there, yes, yes.
Say no more. We know where this adventure leaves. Thank you, Elaine Hernandez. Her middle name is Adventure. Elaine Adventure Hernandez from Monona and San Antonio. No, not too many people can say that. What?
I was just getting wound up here.
It's okay, time for
so
the
I
quiz.
Okay, so I wind it up, I guess. That means that basketball thing there means you better shoot. If the balls should be in the air at that point when you hear that. We will, yes, sir, come on up here if you would. My biggest fan, because he's got the shirt. I would have bought this shirt for the 20th anniversary, and you said you had the 30th, too.
The 30th, yes. I come once every 10 years and buy a new T-shirt.
Yeah. Do you have any other shirts of the show?
Yeah, that's it. Okay. That's it.
And you are?
Paul Larson from La Crosse, Wisconsin.
From La Crosse, and you're in what?
I'm teaching physics at Viterbo University.
Physics. And right now in physics, what physical thing are you going through?
I'm doing some new research and trying to understand some magnetic materials.
Did you bring them with you? Any magnetic materials with you?
I left them there. They didn't let me take them with
I'll
me.
Let you do this.
Okay, great. All right, so these are the four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, the Australian man who survived a week in the outback on ants now says he prefers them. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done.
Thank you.
Keep that. We don't want it back. No, keep that. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try that hand at the What Do You Know quiz. It is a general knowledge quiz that no one ever loses. Yes, come on down here. Give you some idea of how difficult the quiz is. Only if you really annoy me, you lose. That hasn't happened in a while. How are you?
I'm fine.
And you are?
I'm Bob Sarr from Burlington, Iowa, the first capital of the territory of Wisconsin.
That's a little too much information, Bob.
I'm from Iowa.
I'm going to put that in my big deal folder, but I'll have to do that later, I guess. Now, Bob, what do you do out there?
I write newspaper stories for the Hawkeye newspaper, the oldest newspaper in Iowa.
The Hawkeye! Good man. Bob, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I'm from Iowa, and every time I leave Iowa to come to Wisconsin, the average IQ of both states goes way up.
All right, Bob, you sound qualified. Come on, come on, that was a very good effort. Come on. Don't malinger.
Michael, huh? I meant to say it goes way down.
Right. I wasn't really listening anyway. So but I think
that's okay.
It was a good comment. I'm sure it was. It seemed like it.
I'd like to embarrass my brother.
Something you thought about. Your brother? Is your brother here?
My brother is right there. It's my brother Jesse.
Hey, bro. Jesse?
It's his 70th birthday today.
Oh. Get you a bottle of wine. We'll get you a bottle of wine, Jesse.
Where's my headset?
Your headset? Here. It's on the stuffed emu.
Thank you.
Don't you know anything about radio? Where would a headset be?
Yeah, there's a right-wing radio guy in Burlington that calls me up at 7 in the morning all the time.
He calls you?
Yeah. Yeah, because he knows I'm a liberal.
Oh, yeah? And he asks you something.
And he wants to have a fair and balanced program.
Yeah, being conservative.
Yes.
They do that.
Yeah.
So, Bob, what's your column about, generally speaking?
Well, I don't have a column anymore. I just write entertainment features.
They took it away from you?
Yes, they did.
Because it was just you and your thoughts.
Yeah, because I stopped writing about technology and just started writing about Dave Barry and you and people like that.
I never saw it. I wish you would have got a few clippings around that. I could...
Yeah, they're all online. You can find them all.
Yep. So now you're the technology. You're the radio, TV, and there's not radio anymore, is there?
I have a radio.
Yeah.
In my car.
No kidding.
You don't look anything.
What year is that?
When you're in my car, you don't look the way you do right now.
No, of course not.
Okay.
And did you get the cassette with that? Cassette player?
I did, yes. I have a cassette player in
do
my
you,
car.
And you play things when you drive?
Sure do.
What do you play when you drive?
Well, I'm also a musician, which would help.
Oh, you are.
I play mandolin and harmonica are a couple of things I play, so I'll put a harmonica in a rack.
No, you don't. Do
yes,
you?
Yes, I do, and I practice harmonica while I drive.
That is such a bad idea. I mean, not having a harmonica rack. I think every harp player, as I like to call them, should have a rack. But I don't, while you're driving.
It's harder with the mandolin.
All right, that's a good point.
Okay.
Your point is well taken. Did you bring them, either your rack or your harp or your...
No, but one of the things that this is the first time I've ever seen your show, and these two guys are two of the best musicians.
They are.
I've heard, I love...
Two of the best musicians on this stage.
Absolutely.
John alone is two of the best musicians. He's the equivalent of two of the best musicians.
Yeah, his left hand.
His left hand.
Yeah.
He's got two of them.
It's
that's
his
a little known
hand.
Fact about that's why.
That's left foot.
And do you play like in a band? Do you play regular or irregular?
Yeah. I play with people now. I don't play as much as I used to. I don't
well,
do
who
it
does?
For a living anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Well, nice to have you here, Bob.
Thank you.
And someone out there plays along with you. And how does that work then?
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Okay, it's a percentage thing. It's close within about, what, 10%? Should do it? Okay, sorry. Not to get your attention. We want to know the percentage of shirt tuckers. What? Oh, the percentage of shirt tuckers who are happier on the job than non-tuckers. This is from Fruit of the Loom. It makes no sense. Just give me a percentage. Okay, it's the percentage of shirt tuckers, people who tuck in their shirts, who say they are happier on the job than non-tuckers of shirts. I don't know. Just give me a number and I'll give it to you. Let's go to Brian's in Taipei, Taiwan. Brian, who's paying for this call?
I am.
You are, huh? Well, let's stay in line for a while. Or how's the weather in Taipei right now?
Just a little bit of rain. A little typhoon went by.
Yeah. And what are you doing out there, Brian?
I teach at an English language school.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We know each other, don't we?
I don't know. I may have called when I was in college in Wisconsin in the 80s. But
okay. And how's your Mandarin? Pretty good?
Hi, Hal.
Okay.
Not bad.
Okay. Brian, let me ask you this. Percentage of shirt tuckers who are happier on the job than non-tucking co-workers?
Now, this is people who tuck their own shirts, not people who tuck other people's shirts.
I didn't know there were such people. Well, all right. In junior high school, tuck your shirt in, mister, but then you still, if he did it for you, he would be arrested, so... The well-named vice principal, you know, none of those guys. So, Brian, what do you say? What percentage?
Well, let's go with 62%.
Exactly right. It's like 60%. It is 60%.
Really? So,
that was freaky good. Okay, Brian, you're a good match here with Bob, I believe. Bob?
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing? I was in Taipei once.
Yeah, there you go. See? Knew it.
I sat in the airport for 4 hours.
Okay. Cool.
That was it.
Yeah,
end of story?
Airport, that's too.
That was it. Yeah.
Okay. Your stories are like dead ends. Almost all of them.
Well, no, actually, I was flying to Hanoi.
Oh, cool.
And it was 1994. Uh-huh. And I was the videographer for a bicycle tour from Hanoi to Saigon.
Before, no kidding.
Before we recognized him as a country. So we were the first Americans to go through.
Yeah, I knew you were secretly a real interesting guy. It's just a question of getting at it. That's really amazing. Okay, so Brian, Bob, you are a team right now. You work together. It's collaborative. And let's run up his bill as much as possible.
Okay.
What categories do we have there, Stephanie Lee?
Categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
All right, Brian, what would you like? It's your dime.
Well, let's go with people first.
People, okay. People. How long have you been there in Taipei, Brian?
25 years.
Okay. Getting used to it then?
Yeah.
Okay, if like Paul Ryan, you demanded a work-life balance in your job, are you better off being a risk analyst or a substitute teacher? This is a new field now, you know, work-life balance. People want work. They want a balance with having something called a life, which I seem to remember having. So are you better off being a risk analyst if you want a good work-life thing or a substitute teacher?
Are you talking to Brian?
Boy, Bob,
I'm talking to both of you.
Oh. Hi,
yeah,
Brian.
Bob, I'm thinking a risk life analyst has to do work all the time, and a substitute teacher probably doesn't get to work all the time.
Yeah.
So they might have more time to be with their family.
Sub?
Right. Oh, substitute teacher because they're a freelancer and they can call in
okay,
sick.
Okay. Sub, yes. Congratulations. That's one right.
One right.
Okay.
And the remaining categories are current events, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
All right, Bob, you're on.
Well, let's get the current events over with.
Current events, let's get them. Yes,
it's
I know.
It's Brian
feel
with a
that.
Y, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. Thank you for that, Bob. It's Bob with an O.
I'm just trying to help. Well, I'm
not an A in the middle of Bob.
My parents were dyslexic.
Okay.
That's why they named me Bob.
So how close is close regarding the Halloween asteroid that's coming close? How close is close? How close is it going to get? They say it's close on Halloween. Asteroid coming. It's going to be close to the Earth. How close is close? Talk it over, Brian and Bob.
In miles or light years?
It's not light years.
Okay.
Come on.
Well, the moon's like about 225,000 miles, right? Mm-hmm. And Mars is further than that.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere between Mars and the moon.
Okay. So, Brian, you want to weigh in on this?
So if it's outside the moon, maybe they wouldn't make the news.
Yeah.
But if it was closer than the moon, then maybe it would become news.
Oh, definitely. For sure it'd become news.
Yeah, big news.
I think it's probably going to come somewhere between Mars and Jupiter. But what that is in miles, I just...
Well...
Don't know.
How far is
can I ask my brother? He's smarter than
me. No.
That seems pretty far, Bob. I'm thinking closer to the moon.
To the moon, okay. So the moon was what? Well, would you say the moon was 225,000?
Yeah, well, I'm saying he's... Okay.
And he said it's closer to the moon, maybe a little outside of the moon, so what were you going to say?
That's pretty easy.
300,000 miles, something like that?
No, Brian said that my guess was
Brian?
Pretty far. His is pretty close, so can't we go with one of those? Like pretty close.
Do you want to win? Do you want to lose?
We only have
time for this last question. You get this right, you
pretty close.
300,000. Yes, is right. Congratulations. You win the aborted.
Bob, you'll smell breakfast time fresh with a bottle of Bacon Body Wash, clear, meaty liquid soap from Archie McPhee. And Brian with a Y, you've won Steep and Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee, lively and satisfying for that first wake-up cup. And later in the day, relax with smooth and sweet Costa Rican Terrazoo from Madison's Steep and Brew Coffee, coffee done right. Congratulations to both of you. Stick around. There's plenty of more What Do You Know fun just ahead. In the next hour, we welcome the star of Comedy Central's Review, Andrew Daly. Plus, we go pig wrestling during all the news that is and play another round of the What Do You Know quiz. That's all coming up when we return. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome the star of Review, Andrew Daly. Plus, we'll sort through another batch of Thanks for the Memos and play a quick round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who was just going to declare for the last Republican slot when John Kasich did, Michael Feldman. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, each week at this time, or sometimes not, but most weeks, and you're sometimes not at this time. Aside from that, thanks for the memos. This is not a memo here. This is just a little thing. Focus on fruits and veggies. To get the full range of nutrients, it's important to eat fruits and vegetables in a variety of colors throughout the week. And it goes on to... Well, yeah, dietary experts recommend filling half your plate at each meal with fruits and vegetables. Be sure to have plenty of dark green, orange, and red vegetables. Retain most nutrients in cooked vegetables. Microwave them in a small amount of water. Don't boil them. And then it has a little recipe corner on the bottom here of this whole thing about the nutrient value of vegetables and fruits. For pop cupcakes, one chocolate cake mix and one 12-ounce can of Diet Coke. I'm just saying, I thought that was interesting to get. Okay. Sounds good, though, actually. Chocolate cake mix and a 12-ounce can of Diet Coke. Mix together and put in cupcake pans. Bake as directed on cake mix box. Top with light Cool Whip. All right. Anyhow, that's not the memo. Anyhow, this is the memo you've been waiting for. It goes out to everybody in the facilities of this particular establishment. And here it is. I'm sure it's not you who has devised this, but there's no one else to talk to, so please don't take this personally. I have some observations and questions about the new breakout area policy that was started on Monday. Number one, we must put all our used utensils into the dishwasher. This makes total sense. Two, if the dishwasher is full or in use, we must wash our utensils and dry them and put them into the cupboards. I personally don't have much of a problem with this, but is it difficult to clean things properly on the first floor? As the hot tap is nearly always only lukewarm, and the sponge provided is usually manky. I like that. I'm going to use that word. I've never really heard it. Have you heard the word manky before? I like that. This means that the utensils are not really, really clean, and I personally wash them before I use them and rinse them using the boiling tap water. I really have better things to do with my work time, but if needs must. Three, nobody seems to empty the dishwasher anymore or not as often. Now, these are all from a previous memo, obviously, that he's responding to. So what's the point of having it there? If the staff who used to empty it no longer have this task, then no one else is going to do it. Four, where are all the dessert spoons? I suspect that fear of dirty utensil disposal every Friday means that people are sitting on their used utensils until they are good and ready to return them, perhaps waiting in vain for the dishwasher to be empty. If the ultimate aim is for there to be no company-provided crockery or cutlery, that's fair enough, but please be more straightforward about it. Just tell us and remove the equipment. The current policy and the previous recent one feels very petty. This policy makes me feel like we are schoolchildren in a school run by bad school teachers. We are working for an organization that wants to punch like the $13 billion company that we are. This policy undermines that sentiment. Now I've said my piece, back to work. Okay, thank you very much for that memo. And you can send these memos in, and where can they send these memos in?
Sure, they can send those memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Okay, that's pretty much what you can do. And it doesn't have to be a memo, obviously. It can be anything you want to send us. Now here's all the news that is, because all the news that isn't didn't work that good. This is all the news that is around here, and there's some things, a man mistake, you've heard about this in Milwaukee, man mistakes dog for lion, injuring animal. There's reportedly a lion loose in Milwaukee, which doesn't happen often. This is not to say it couldn't happen, but there was a man there who thought he spotted the lion and drew a gun, which he happened to have with him, and fired. Striking animal, it turned out to be a dog. So the dog's okay, though. It was a pit bull, so might have been self-defense. But fractured leg should be okay. So that's the latest on the Milwaukee Lions story. Update on pig wrestling. 44 years of pig wrestling at St. Patrick's Parish in Stephenville, Wisconsin. They canceled it because of political correctness. Why would it be politically incorrect to wrestle a pig? I don't know. It's religious. It's a religious ceremony at St. Patrick's. I don't see anything wrong. Anyhow, getting a church to cancel a 44-year tradition of pig wrestling at its annual parish festival apparently wasn't enough for some animal rights activists. Now the groups went to a circuit judge to override the district attorney's decision and issue criminal charges against organizers at St. Patrick's Parish.
What if they gave the pigs Quaaludes or something?
Yeah. The petitioners say all 37 pigs used in the 2014 wrestle suffered abuse. Pigs' heads were forced down into the muddy water. Pigs were hoisted in the air and dropped. Pigs were hyperventilating. Pigs were dragged against wood and wire fencing, caused injury. Pigs were body slammed. Picky, picky, picky. You want a pig wrestle, you got to body slam them. That's all there is to it. I mean, oh, I don't care. That's kind of silly. Yeah, maybe it's not a good event. But oh, and then the other thing, of course, the elk mound mounders. Up in Eau Claire. Is it Eau Claire? No, it's in Elk Mound, of course. They're the ones who had the logo that resembled the new one from the Milwaukee Bucks, which was a buck like straight on with the thing with a nice rack like this into the logo stuff, which is the new Bucks logo. However, they then went retro and said the Elk Mound logo on their floor, they could no longer use. They had to paint it over, because it resembled their new logo. So it made no sense, and we're giving them $500,000 to build a new arena. So, but this, and Elk Mound was very gracious about it, and they have a new Mounder Pride logo now, and it's it looks a little familiar. I don't know. But this is, it looks, but it's nice. It seems to be Bullwinkle crossing his arms in a famous pose, but I'm not sure it isn't. That's at Elk Mound, so. Colfax celebration coming up August 15th. That's a big thing going on there near Eau Claire. The band's playing. I looked it up. They got the Top Notchmen, noon to 4. It's on August 15th. Hickory playing contemporary country to rock in stimulus package. Extensive playlist from all that bass to Proud Mary near Colfax, Wisconsin. The pancake breakfast is at 7:30 a.m., and the Buck Snort Bar and Grill is open all day. So that's in Colfax. The big thing near Eau Claire, the thing I'm really excited about, however, is the Cowboy Monkey Rodeo. You don't see many of these anymore because of sensibilities. You know. But the monkeys are not hurt, and the dogs love it. And you can see they're actually cowboy monkeys riding these dogs. They look like border collies or something like
that. They ride dogs?
Yeah. And they dress as cowboys. So, you know, see it. I say go down that road and see it. Judge for yourself. It's on Saturday, August 1st in Eau Claire there at the Express, you know, the Express Ballpark Stadium there, 6:05 p.m. Check it out for yourself. Make your own decisions about Cowboy Monkey Rodeo. State Patrol, this is not here, but Minnesota, close enough. State Patrol in Minnesota says, do not stop for ducks on the interstate. So if you're from La Crosse or someplace and, you know, you're used to stopping for ducks on the interstate, as I think anybody would in Wisconsin, because they still got to get across the other side because they're going to have it both ways. You know, they got the ducks and they take a while to walk. But, who's, you know, where do you have to be? But the State Patrol in Minnesota says it's having no more of it. They're asking motorists not to stop for wildlife that may have meandered onto a busy interstate. The advice comes on for drivers after Interstate 35 in the Twin Cities. Metro could be seen on transportation video stopping or swerving to avoid a duck leading a line of ducklings across a busy road. About a dozen cars narrowly missed the line of ducks as they waddled across the interstate. Remarkably, the sudden swervings didn't result in any crashes. he said if there's a crash that causes a fatal or serious injury, the driver could face criminal charges. So if when in Minnesota, just plow those ducks down. And about the only other thing here that comes to mind is in Viroqua, they're looking for the missing chicken plucker. Viroqua. Here's a picture of it in case you have seen it. This is not an individual. This is actually a device that somehow plucks chickens. Seems to be something running into it, and it seems to be like maybe electrical. I don't know. Viroqua area hobby farmers are seeking the public's help in locating a missing chicken plucker. A resource widely used among growers who raise small flocks for meat use, the plucker owned by Pat and Therese Slattery, Middle Range, purchased in 2003 with the assistance of a grant from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, with the provision that it be shared with community residents. Over the years, dozens of local farmers have processed thousands of chickens using this time-saving plucker. So it's a used plucker, but it looks like a good one. The plucker's last known users were Sarah Mayer and Scott Champion of Sidey Hollow Road, just outside of Viroqua. It was picked up there by the next community user. Unfortunately, the records identifying that user are no longer available. So we're wondering if the Walker administration did have something to do with this. Lost the records.
Open okay. records, closed records.
Yeah, closed records. And the quote on this is a good one. We're afraid that the plucker is sitting in someone's barn, and they're just waiting to be notified when the next plucker will pick it up. Okay, that's it for all the news that is around here, and thank you so much. Joining us in a different vein from Los Angeles, Andy Daly. You know him from his show Review, which is on the Comedy Channel right now. Big hit. He's joining us from Los Angeles, and he's on the phone with us right now, I believe. Andy, are you there?
I am here. Hello.
How are you? How are you?
I'm very good. I'm excited to be here. I'm available for this interview because my pig wrestling event was canceled today.
Yeah. I don't know. You can't do things like you used to, I guess. But still, in all, it seems like good fun.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm confused about is that people can't wrestle pigs, but monkeys can be made to dress up like cowboys and ride on top of dogs.
Yeah.
No one's complaining about that one.
It's all priorities. I think we have our priorities screwed up.
I'm trying to figure out which animal is more humiliated by that. Is it the dog or the monkey?
Yeah, I have no idea. It looks pretty cute all around to me. Now, you grew up in Mount Kisco, New York. Is that right? Or that's where you're from?
Actually, I was born in Mount Kisco, New York, but I really grew up in New Jersey, over the river.
You did. When did you start growing up? What age was that?
That's a great question. I don't feel I did much growing up before the age of two. You know, before that, it was just kind of...
Oh, you did.
Just marking time. Yeah.
That's pretty early. That's precocious.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when I really started hitting my stride. And that's when we got out to Jersey.
Okay. Because I was going to ask, if you were from... Because I looked up Mount Kisco, and, you know, it's really kind of an amazing place. It's 11,000 people, but almost every one of them is notable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, you're on the list there of notable people from Mount Kisco, but there's just Janet Edelman, Shakespearean scholar, Samuel Barber, the composer, Rick Carey, the three-time Olympic gold medal winner, Bennett Cerf, Andrew Daly, actor and comedian, Michael Eisner, former CEO of Walt Disney, Arlene Francis, Caitlyn Jenner.
Really? Well, I have a possible explanation for that,
yes.
Which is that Mount Kisco is the town where the Westchester General County Hospital is. So a lot of these people, including myself, were born there but didn't live there.
Okay. You'll be born there and then they get you out of town pretty quick, I guess, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, the town gets to claim credit for all these people that just spent 3 days in the maternity ward. I guess that's fair.
Yeah. Plus, some of these people are probably more Bedford Corners than Mount Kisco, don't you think?
I don't doubt it. Or Sleepy Hollow, even.
Yeah, Sleepy Hollow. And that's not too far from Chappaqua.
And, that's right.
Yeah.
And my family lived in a town called Croton-on-the-Hudson,
which
is close to there.
That's cool.
Identifies its proximity to the river right there in the name of the town.
Yeah. And did you flee to New Jersey, or how'd that happen?
I'm not sure what made us go to New Jersey. Yeah. Actually, that piece of family lore has been lost to time.
Yeah, well, you should ask and find out. I'm curious to know.
Yeah.
The show is going good. Review is going great.
Yeah, we had our first season, and it was very, very well received by critics and by those members of the viewing public who found it, who continue to find it on various online destinations. You don't just have to watch things on television anymore. You know, yeah. Shows have lives after their runs. And so there seems to be a lot of excitement for season two, which premieres this Thursday. I know I'm excited.
Yeah. I think most people probably remember you from The Brave Little Toaster to the Rescue. More than anything else?
That may be true. No, I don't know. You know, that's one of those jobs. I've actually tried to have that credit removed from my IMDb page. I filled out multiple requests, mostly because I don't remember doing it. I can't confirm that I was involved in that. I might have to track that down. Apparently, I play a character named Murgatroyd. I don't know what that is or anything about it.
Yeah. But Eastbound and Down.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Eastbound and Down was a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you played like the antithesis of the lead character.
Yeah, that's right. I play a guy who in the first episode just has all this hero worship for the main character and is completely oblivious to the fact that the main character is interested in my fiance. And that obliviousness doesn't hold up for long. And so I got to play over the course of the first season this wonderful arc of discovery of my hero is in love with my fiance and is trying to steal her from me, and then that kind of drives my character crazy. And that was great, great fun to play.
Yeah, I bet. Who's the actor, the lead actor?
Danny McBride.
Yeah, Danny McBride. I don't forget his name. He's so fantastic. Playing a washed-out ball player who's trying to make a comeback many years too late. Great, great show, and you're sort of like the counterpoint on that, both in the case of the woman, and both just kind of emotionally for the show, because he's so over the top, you know.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time being kind of a voice of reason, you know, being the adult in the room as a high school principal who seems to sort of have his act together, which is why it's all the more surprising that my character then ends up unraveling. I think the audience did not expect that.
Yeah. Which is fun. Unraveling is fun, isn't it?
Oh, it's so much fun. Yeah. I love to unravel.
Yeah. It sort of breaks out of character for you, because you play these guys oftentimes who are sort of like the ones who get worked around by life or whatever, or try to hold up the rules or whatever and still get worked over. But to get to bust out and really go crazy must be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I play a lot of squares. I play a lot of guys who look comfortable in a sweater vest. picking up the newspaper at the end of the driveway. That's kind of my wheelhouse. And then to take a guy like that into the wilderness picking bugs out of his hair because he's lost his mind.
Yeah.
It's great fun.
Yeah. That was a great show. And this is like a star turn for you now, Review.
Yeah, Review was a real opportunity for me to be the lead guy in something, which I'd never really had the chance to do before. I'm always sort of playing a supporting role. And, so this was a chance to take that sweater vest guy and have him be the focus of everything that happens.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I've overdone it because I'm in every scene, and sometimes it'd be nice to take a break. But
Has it turned your head around as far as your own capabilities and what you want to do in the future? Is it a breakout role?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's in many ways for me because I'm also writing the show and I'm producing the show, and so I'm heavily involved in every aspect of it, straight from putting the writing room together to editing it, and then being in every scene. So it is. It's definitely much harder than I ever thought I would work in show business. This was not my plan. This is not the Entourage fantasy of show business. But, yeah, it has definitely shown me, you know, various things that I did not necessarily know that I could do, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's a great idea. Review is actually a guy, Forrest McNeil.
Forrest McNeil, yeah.
And he does reviews of life. These are actually life reviews.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't review boring things like food, films, or art. He reviews life experiences, and he considers it a very solemn community service that he's doing here. That anybody in the world can write into him and say, what is it like to have road rage? What is it like to get in a bare-knuckle brawl? And he will go out and he will do it. He will immerse himself in the experience, and then he'll rate every experience on a scale of 1 to 5 stars so you know whether to do it or not.
This is the ultimate. We have a little clip here. Do we have that, Aubrey? I think we do. Yes. This is from a thing on stealing. Explain this. Set this up for us.
Well, he's been asked to review what is it like to steal, and I'm not sure what your clip is here, but he starts off with something very small and ends up discovering that he has some aptitude for it, actually.
Yeah. All right. So first he's stealing malted milk balls or something from a store, and he has a lot of problem with it emotionally. Then this is the part, the clip we have here is he actually goes on. He says, what if I did something that was more emotional?
Right.
And this is where he actually steals groceries from an old lady. So it sounds like this.
Hey, pardon me. Can I give you a hand with those?
Oh, thank you.
Oh, sure. Oh, good, yeah.
It's so hard to get.
Oh, I know. Thank yes.
You.
Well, my pleasure. Sorry. Oh, yeah.
Hey, where are you going?
That's very different. It's bad. That feels really bad.
But stealing began to look quite different to me when I brought the groceries home and shared them with my wife, Suzanne, and son, Eric.
Cake! Oh, my God, what does it say? What? Happy birthday, Lorraine?
Yeah. Well, I guess they just had some extra cakes.
So. Oh, here are you. Come on. I love these surprises.
Yes.
A lot of shredded wheat in here, huh?
Yeah.
There it is. Happy birthday, Lorraine, is a giveaway, I guess. That's such a funny
yeah.
little bit.
That's a telltale sign that is a stolen cake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you did the writing on this as well, is that what you said?
Yes, and yeah. And I definitely, I relate to that directly because as a young man, I used to often go into supermarkets and see the bins of loose candy that, you know, you can fill a bag with. And just think to myself, what would be the harm of taking two or three of these? And so it was like a minor little shoplifting threshold. They're not going to miss three malted milk balls, and it'll make my shopping experience much more enjoyable to be chewing on these. And then, you know, so that was where we started for us off, saying this is a very minor theft. And then,
yeah. You
know, to have a true experience of stealing, he had to go a bit further and really do something that had some repercussions and that somebody would notice. And it was richer, tougher.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of this, you were in the Upright Citizens Brigade, right? Weren't you years ago?
Yeah, when they first came to New York and started teaching classes, the original Upright Citizens Brigade four members, I was one of the first people to sign up for their classes.
Yeah. There. Is there a lot of improv on this show as well, or is it not so much?
There is. There definitely is. You know, and not only that, but a lot of what I learned about long form improvisation from those guys is implemented in the writing of the show. The way that the first scene will tie into the last scene, and there's just kind of threads that dovetail in a given episode. But also, when we're shooting, we do have scripts. This is not one of those shows where we improvise from an outline like a Curb Your Enthusiasm or a Reno 911. We have scripts, but we depart from them very, very liberally, partly just to find new comedy, but also just to put, for all the actors, to put things into your own words to make it all sound more natural and just to overlap with each other, because it's a mockumentary. It's a cinema verite style, and we really want it to feel that way.
Was it based on an Australian show? Is that what I saw?
Yeah, that's right. There was a show in Australia called Review with Miles Barlow, which was a whole different creative team that did it there for two seasons of six episodes. And mm-hmm. Comedy Central saw that and thought of me to do the American version. And I'm very glad they did.
Yeah, good choice. Reno 911, I'm trying to remember who you played on that. Who did you play on that?
I played a bunch of different guys in the video. I played a recurring character by the name of Brad, the friendly homeowner, who literally wore a sweater vest and answered the door. And the first time I was ever on that show, the police were responding to a call. I had called to say that somebody came into my house and took my daughter at gunpoint. Just very dark.
Yeah.
But in the course of the scene, you know, I just kept saying, you know, never mind. I'm sorry I bothered you. I shouldn't have called you out here. No big deal. That was just kind of the character's attitude. I'm wasting your time. I'm sorry. Yes, he did take her at gunpoint, but this is frivolous. I apologize.
See, not many people could play that.
Yeah, the guy's just too sweet to waste the police time with something so minor as his daughter being abducted.
Yeah. Do you ever play, like, really dark, disturbed characters or... Are you working on that?
I'm always working on it. That's what I am in real life. No. I don't know. I never really played like a full-on dramatic dark, disturbed person. There's always plenty of comedy leavening it.
Yeah, you're not one of those comedians that has a dark side and or a dramatic side that longing to come out.
Oh, I don't know. You know, as an actor, of course, I love the challenge of a really delicious drama. And of course, so many great dramas have lots of comedy to them. I always say, like, Breaking Bad is basically a comedy. It's kind of as funny as I need a comedy to be. Like, that's a pretty comical premise. A science teacher starts cooking up drugs and in an odd couple relationship with a former student of his. Like, it's pretty funny. So, that actor, Bryan Cranston, brings a lot of hilarious comedy to that part, I think. So, yeah, I think that the lines are often blurry between comedy and drama, and I'd love to try a funny drama.
In Drunk History, you were?
Oh, yes. I got to play Teddy Roosevelt.
That's
in Drunk
right.
History.
You did a great job, Teddy Roosevelt. How hard is that to do? Now you get to be the character, but you are speaking, or someone else is speaking, a drunk person is speaking your lines for you. Is that difficult?
It's incredibly hard to do. The way they do it, actually, is that they take the audio from the drunk person and they pipe it over speakers, and your job is to lip sync it as well as you can in front of the cameras. But here's the incredible challenge of it. Drunk people, when they're talking, put weird pauses in their sentences, slightly longer pauses than sober people do, and pauses of unpredictable length in between their words. I found it very challenging.
Yeah, yeah. What was the scene? I don't remember the scene with Roosevelt. What do they have you doing?
Well, the hardest scene for me was one where Roosevelt is. I guess he led an attack on Cuba. And it was a sort of a poorly thought out thing where it was the beginning of the Rough Riders and they weren't able to get all their horses on the boat and all this stuff. And it was a very slapdash attack.
But
they were outnumbered and everything. But Roosevelt gives a rousing speech saying, "We're going over that hill. I'm going over that hill and I want you to come with me," and all this. And so I had to deliver that, but this was the only time in the history of Drunk History, which is a very low-budget show, that they actually got a real horse. They had, over the course of their first season, they had it in the budget to do one day with an actual horse, and they thought that this was the day to do it. Other days they have, fake horses and things like that. So I had to deliver this rousing speech, lip-syncing to a drunk person's rendition of it, on horseback. And With a fake mustache that was in constant danger of falling off my face.
Yeah. I'm thinking Emmy quality.
Absolutely, yes. Another snub.
Yeah. That show should get Emmys, I think. That's the most brilliant, innovative. I mean, it's great. It sounds terrible. When I first heard about it, I thought drunk people, doing history.
Yeah.
It's like the worst. But it's like the best idea it turned out, Because you actually do learn.
That's right. Why it's so great is that they hire an actual historical consultant to make sure that the facts are correct, and the drunk person is fully briefed on the actual history of the things that they're going to discuss prior to getting drunk. That, I think, is the key.
Yeah.
First they learn it, then they get drunk, and then they explain it.
Is Review still in production for this season? Or you've done all the shows for this season?
We are putting the final dots on the I's and crosses on the T's of post-production. There's a few, believe it or not, some visual effects that need to be ironed out. But the first episode is ready to air, thank goodness, because it's less than a week away.
Yeah, well, fantastic. And congratulations on your success with this and all things to come.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure talking with you. Andy Daly, ladies and gentlemen, in Los Angeles. You can see him in Review. On Comedy Central, the story of a gentleman named Forrest McNeil who brings you reviews of life reviews, much needed through all these years. It's a funny show. Yeah. What? What are you talking to him for? What?
Because he forgot the tune.
Which tune is it?
One we're going to play now.
You forgot too, huh?
No, I did. I didn't forget. No.
Yeah. You kind of rehearse some of these things, dude. I forget that you rehearse.
Yeah. Well,
you're the only aspect of the show that's ever rehearsed. I appreciate
that.
Oh,
no. No.
Yeah.
We rehearsed with Michelle today. Stephanie today, too.
Yeah. You didn't get her name, though, did you?
No, I did. Well, and then Jeff started calling me No, he started calling Mike Arnold Tom, so we're just like so confused over
here. Oh. Stephanie, most definitely. Can we do a jazz tune called Stephanie? Most definitely.
Definitely, yeah, yeah. And that'll be the second big hit from the Kissing the Lips of Love album.
Yeah. It's taken a while, like once every 10 years
you know,
we get a song.
You don't want to go too quickly.
No, I guess not. Okay. And this tune, did you mention what this was?
When a gypsy makes his violin cry.
You're making that up.
No.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
I want to say hello to Kay Hegestad out there, and she's not feeling well. She's in the hospital right now, and she missed our 30th anniversary show because of illness. And Kay, get the heck up out of bed there and get back here. I want to see you real soon, Kay Hegestad. So our best to you. Let's see now. Do all 16 presidential Republican hopefuls have in common? They're all not going to win. All right. Vina Brecki, is that right? Yes? No? Yes? No? Okay, they left. Tannis Middleman. What were those pterodactyl sounds my sister and I heard last night? Come on, you gotta be here. Yeah? What? Right there?
No, there.
He wrote the question.
You wrote the question?
Well, yeah, she told me about it last night.
So your sister and you heard pterodactyls last night?
These are both my sisters. They heard the noise. I just wrote it for her because she didn't want to write it.
Well, do you really have the right to do that?
I'm their oldest brother.
Was there a pterodactyl?
It sounded like it.
Where were you at the time?
We were sleeping. It was very early in the morning. It was dark. And we have adjoining rooms, and we had the windows open. And we heard this very creepy sound. The only thing I could think of, we were talking about it later, it sounded to me kind of like Alfred Hitchcock. And I could picture these bird bat pterodactyl things that were swarming around, and then they kind of went away, and then they came back. And
you actually know what a pterodactyl would sound like, or this is
really scary.
I want to hear what this.
There's something
like.
Large flapping around that sounded like it was growling and flapping and large.
Squealing and squawking, and then it sounded like they got something because that squealed and like it was dying or something. It was very scary.
Where was it? Where exactly?
It was out in the front yard.
Where? I mean, where?
My parents' home in Oshkosh.
Oh, in Oshkosh. Okay. Are there pterodactyls in Oshkosh? Is anyone here from Oshkosh or around there? Yeah. Have you seen pterodactyls or any large, winged, primitive flying creatures? Okay. We're going to look into this, though. With, thank you for bringing... What?
And she drinks a lot.
Well, I'll have what she had. Kim Nierenhausen. Is that in the same group? Oh, you're Kim? Okay. Stand up here, Kim. I'm bending over to talk to you. You're from Cairo, Egypt, it says here, and you claim it's not Cairo, Illinois.
That's correct. Cairo, actually a suburb. We're living like the Whitefish Bay of Cairo. It's called Mahdi.
It's like Whitefish Bay?
Well, it's fancy. It's where the Brits used to live, and so it's got tree-lined streets, and it's actually very pretty.
And you're teaching down there?
Yeah. Cairo American College. I teach second grade. My wife teaches music.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah.
Going back for our 21st year.
No kidding, that's fantastic. And you come here for your summers?
Summertime. We've got summer off just like that. Before we lived in Cairo, we lived in Pakistan.
Really?
Yeah.
Couldn't you find a job summer?
Not that paid
us. From Whitefish Bay originally?
No, I'm from we're from Oshkosh, and I used to teach in Ripon. We taught in Ripon, Wisconsin, and then we had I had a midlife crisis, and we thought it'd be a little...
Well, I've had midlife crisis, but it's nothing. like teaching in Pakistan would be a good way to get rid of some of these feelings.
And we thought it would be an adventure, and we liked it. My wife liked the fact that we had someone that cooked our food and did the dishes, and we did the garden.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
And have you adjusted socially pretty well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's it's nice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll go for you.
We do all the regular stuff. Play golf. We go hashing. We, you know, do stuff like that.
Go what?
Hashing. It's the hash. The Madison has one. It's the Madison Hash House Harriers. It's a drinking club with a running problem.
I haven't understood one thing on the show so far today. And this is just another example of it. Hashing is called running with a drinking problem?
No, it's a drinking club with a running problem.
With a running problem.
Yeah, and they go out and someone will lay... They've got some notoriety every once in a while. Someone will get scared because they see a little white flower in front of a store or something. And it's just, we've laid flower and then a trail and then a bunch of people try and follow the trail and they're yelling things like, Anon, Anon, and you're pretending you're like a pack of dogs trying to follow a rabbit or a hare.
And this is in Cairo.
It's in Cairo, and it's in Madison, and they're all over the world. It's over 1,000.
You're distributing white powder around Cairo and shouting Anon?
We have been stopped a few times.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope we see you again next time.
I hope so, too, yes.
That sounds great. And who's there? The Nierenhausen?
Nierenhausen, that's correct.
Nierenhausen's? Yeah. You're in Nierenhausen?
Nierenhausen.
Are you in Nierenhausen?
No.
No. Nierenhausen, you're in Nierenhausen?
Mm-hmm. Yep, Nierenhausen.
Yep. Yeah, Nierenhausen too.
For the Nierenhausens, let's give them some wine. Give them how many bottles have we got?
Oh, I don't know that.
Yeah, okay. Let's give them a couple bottles.
Sure. Experience the taste of fine wine from the Wollersheim Winery, named Small Winery of the Year at this year's Riverside International Wine Competition.
Yeah. Okay, next time you're. Next time you're drinking with a running problem, you can... Okay. Wish I understood more what was going on, but it's not a bad feeling. And if unicorns were real, would you have one? No. You wouldn't want them coming up from behind you, nuzzling you, you know? So that's the only reason I wouldn't have a unicorn. Brenda, have you thought about this? Actually think, you know, it's more of a woman thing. They have a, you know, I have known one guy who's been excited about unicorns. Because guys are like unicorns, basically. But no, you know. One horn, come on. But you would, right? Yeah. Well, okay, is this worth? You want to talk about this a little bit? You know, not that it's hard to get to you, but it takes a little while and I'll get there. That's all right, you don't have to hide your purse.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
All right, what's in it?
Everything but the kitchen sink.
Oh, really? Couldn't fit that in there, I know.
A sweet girl.
Yeah. We at the farmer's market and got some stuff?
Yes.
Yeah. What'd you get?
A great big fat donut and a sweet roll.
At a farmer's market? Did you get any produce?
No, because we live up in a small town, Oconto Falls, Wisconsin.
And they don't allow produce in Oconto Falls? Well, stop you at the border of Oconto Falls and say, you have any produce? Or?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. No, we just didn't want to carry it in a hot car.
Implies you probably have a lot of natural produce in the area up there.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
A lot of corn.
Yeah, but you don't have a lot of sweet rolls and donuts.
Well, whatever I make.
Yeah, and I bet you do good, too.
I do.
Well, very nice. And your name is?
Carol Helston.
Okay, nice to meet you.
And that's my husband.
Oh, how come he's sitting? There's a seat in between you.
He can hear better away from me.
That's a good one.
Yeah, she keeps on talking to me. And I want to listen to you. I love you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, this is my first show in 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been
He's another seat, and he's on the other side.
I hear much better away from my parents. Yeah. So this works really good.
He was on the show many years ago, and so was his son.
Oh, yeah, really? Did you win?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, what did you win?
The game.
Did you get it okay?
I got the coin.
Oh, you got the coin with the game.
Yeah, well displayed, yes.
Yeah. And can I tell you one more thing?
Sure, please do.
We just celebrated our 60th wedding anniversary.
Oh, 60 years.
Oh.
But you've been married 70, right? You're just celebrating 60 of the 70.
I told him I'd keep another 60 years, and then I'm going to trade him in for a younger model.
Oh.
And he said, what did you say to that when you heard that?
Yes. I do. I do.
So what do you do? Are you doing something? You got something big for the 60th anniversary? Is it today?
No, it was June 11th. Oh. We had about 59 people there. And it was
about 59?
Well,
most people would say you had about 60, but about 59.
Well, it was a wine and cheese party. And
so we lost a few people, I think.
From the wine and cheese?
The party, yeah.
Okay, and then, so you had a wine and cheese party.
We had a wine and cheese party. We still have a lot of cheese left, so.
Do you have any wine left?
About 2 cases. I had 6 cases of wine.
But you don't need it then.
No, not really. Yeah. But great party and great little town to live in, Ocotillo Falls.
Ocotillo Falls.
I have a couple, pieces of real estate that I want to sell. So,
you got any lake frontage or anything on the falls there? Are there falls in Ocotillo Falls?
There is falls. It's actually a river with a dam.
Oh, and the falls is just a spillage over the dam?
Yes, correct. No, there is a real falls.
So shouldn't it be an Ocotillo spillage?
Well, that's probably what it used to be called, but they had logs floating down. And they had a big Scott paper mill there.
Oh, okay.
And there still is a tissue mill. So, but no more log piles, no more pulp.
Float the tissues down the water like they,
no, they don't.
They get soggy and sink.
It's absorbent, so, you know, absorbent tissue. Okay.
And so your name is?
Richard, Dick. Everybody calls me Dick.
Okay, Nick.
And I'm Carol.
I'm Brian. This is you had 3 generations of Helsids on your show now.
The Helsids, ladies and gentlemen, from Ocotillo Falls. Oh, we didn't get to talk about, is that all right? Sorry. Real quick, one thing you'd like people to know about. I know, I heard you.
Okay.
It was impossible not to hear you. Don't go crazy with power crazy with it. What?
Sounds mad.
She's okay. Is there something about those animals that you love so much?
They're just, it'd be cool to have a unicorn.
They don't exist, dear.
But if they did, it'd be neat. Yeah.
Why would it be so neat to have a horse with a...
wings to fly?
You could fly, too. That's true.
You could ride them to work and around, and you wouldn't have to have a car.
Where to park?
Well, you wouldn't have to park it.
Hover while you're working for?
Yeah.
Work for the state?
No.
Cool. That's my unicorn outside the window there. Okay. At Jeff 1 or wherever you were. Okay. We're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Yes, we're going to do this now. So this tells us who can and cannot participate in the quiz. We didn't do it earlier. This is your moment. I'll give this to you.
The 4 disclaimers. Number 1. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number 2, Trump throws hat in ring. Hair goes with it. Number 3, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. And number 4, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, these are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Thank you very much. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to raise your hand. And then, and me and her. And no, she does. No, she doesn't. Yes, she does. No, she doesn't. Yes, she does. No, she doesn't. What? Is he making you do it? I don't. If it's coercion.
It's not
worse. Are you nervous? Come on, relax. Get up. If I can do it, anybody can do it. How scary can it be? You're with the guy from Elephant Trunk, Germany.
I didn't know that until now. Yeah. I didn't know that until this morning.
You were with him until now? Or?
No, I didn't know about the elephant thing in Germany.
Are you living there too?
No, not now. No, we live in Kansas City.
Oh, but is he from there?
We are citizens of the world, so yeah. But we live in Kansas City right now.
From Germany. Okay. And your name is?
Susie.
Susie. Give me one good reason, Susie, you should play this quiz.
It would just be awesome. It would be awesome, I think.
Awesomeness.
Probably save you prizes. I don't.
Awesomeness. Awesomeness. Come on, walk this way. Come on, give her a little encouragement. This is awesome. Careful on these steps there. Seat right there if you would. Awesomeness.
This is so cool.
You spell it with a Z or an S?
With a Z.
Oh, good.
E.
I like it that way. Oh, Z-E.
Yeah.
Okay.
My parents did that.
So okay. No, that's cool, too. That's what they're doing now. Is that bothering you?
No, he's comforting.
Just kick it. It's not real.
I know. He feels nice.
Yeah. And so what are you doing these days, Susie?
I do artwork. I'm on vacation, too.
You're on vacation currently. Are you going around the country and seeing things?
Yeah, actually I am. Yeah, yeah. I've been to New Mexico for about a month.
Oh, wonderful.
And
where'd you go down there?
All over. Down to the Four Corners area. Mm-hmm. Taos.
Oh,
spent
Taos,
a lot of time in Taos.
Yeah.
Great chili rellenos in Taos.
Yeah,
I'd like to go back for more.
Yeah.
And recently Northern Michigan. So I'm just
That's
coming back
elite.
Down from... It was. It's a big driving trip.
Yeah. From Santa Fe up to the Upers?
The Upers. Yeah. We were just with the Upers yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you find them?
They're survivors. I was trying to figure out what they do up there, and all I can figure out is they live there and
live
survive.
There. Yeah. Oh, and the Upers are
that's
great.
About it.
We can learn from the Upers. I have the highest regard for Upers.
I believe that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that about them.
I don't know. It's like going to, like in Mongolia, if you go up and you see the gurus on top of the mountain or something like that. That's what the UP is like for Wisconsin.
Yeah, I don't think I actually saw any.
There's a guy sitting there in his cabin
who
knows things.
I just saw evidence of them. I don't think I really saw a Uper. I just saw evidence of Upers as we were driving down the road.
You didn't meet anyone the whole time?
We went through pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. It was pretty barren. And
how did you happen to head up that way?
I'd never been, so it was just fun, exploration.
Good.
Yeah.
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 All right. Well, very good. And so this vacation is still going on, ongoing. Where we go next?
I'm telling you, this is the frosting on the cake.
Well, that goes without saying.
Seriously. Yeah. Yeah. It's.
Well, I'm glad to frost your cake. I really.
You have, Michael. Yeah. You absolutely. I will remember this forever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about me a little bit then.
Yeah, you're charming.
Why I'm so important to you. And what sort of art do you do?
Really sophisticated, complicated stuff.
Yeah.
Not really.
Me too.
I just put stuff on a board and then sand it, put more stuff on a board and sand it. And then put stuff on top of that to...
And sand it?
Make it pop. And sand it some more, yeah. It's you know, you have to see it to understand it.
Yeah. And after you're done sanding it... then do you put some kind of finish
on
it?
I do. I put stuff on to bring out all these layers, and so it becomes multi-layered. And,
sounds cool.
You know, it carries a lot of meaning. And it sort of is. I mean, you know.
That's like what I do, pretty much.
Well, you know,
sanding, meaning, sanding, meaning, sanding,
meaning. Multifaceted. That's the one thing I'm really getting from
facets.
Your show today.
Is that multi? I think.
Yeah.
Multi starts at 3, probably.
Oh, I'd give you at least 4 or 5, just based on what I've seen here today. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's great. We're going to play the quiz right now, and how do we do that, Stephanie?
Sure. If people want to play the quiz, they are going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WHA-NOW or 1-800-WHACK-NOW, and answer this qualifying question.
Okay, your musical taste. They found that your musical tastes solidify at a particular age. In other words, you're going to like nothing different after a certain age. We want to know what that age is. It's according to Spotify. They should know, I guess. What age do your musical tastes solidify? That's the question. We've got callers on the line already. For example, Sarah is in Viroqua right now. Hey, Sarah.
Hi there.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How about you?
I'm fine, thank you. Did you hear the question?
I did.
When do your musical tastes solidify?
Age 14.
That's exactly right. Age 14.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Age 14. How did you know that, Sarah?
I remember being 14.
You remember being 14?
I remember the songs from that time.
Wow, yeah. What was the big song when you were 14?
Oh, gosh. You know, at that time it was like Hall & Oates and Queen.
The Rhapsody one?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sarah, Susie.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Susie.
I love the way you jumped all over that answer and got it right immediately.
Yeah.
That's great.
We're a little bit strapped on time here is what I'm thinking. So what I'm thinking is this is a one-fer.
Yeah.
If you get this right, you win.
Oh, God.
Huh? Is that not a pressure?
Okay.
Is that okay,
yeah.
Sarah?
Okay.
Yeah. I feel good about Sarah. I think we can handle this. Yeah, we'll nail it.
Good team. What categories do we have to choose from?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Sarah, I'll let you pick the category. What would you like?
I think thinking back in time, things we should have learned in school.
Okay. Yeah.
Had you been paying attention for all the money, the Octothorpe. This is the title. Let's see what else we got in there.
I actually know what an octothorpe is.
Okay. You do? Oh, you do. Okay. You're not playing the quiz.
Right.
Do you happen to know?
It has eight of something. That's all I can.
You happen, Sarah? This is between you and me. Do you happen to know what an octothorpe is?
Yeah. The eight.
Yeah. I don't know.
Let's look at this other question. Okay. Yes.
Thanks.
It's a lot easier. What do you call a mathematical operation that determines how many times a number called the base is multiplied by itself to reach another number? No.
Wow, that's complicated.
Yeah. Okay. Anton von Leeuwenhoek is a name synonymous with what in science, I guess you'd say. Anton von Leeuwenhoek.
Was that... Did it have something to do with antibiotics or...
No.
Medication?
No,
okay.
Can a hedgehog roll after curling into a ball shape?
I think it can.
Okay, then let's find something else. Can't do that. Okay, give an example of peristalsis in everyday life. Talk it over now, Sarah. Susie.
Okay. Sarah, does it have something to do with digestion?
That sounds right.
You mean something like passing something down the alimentary canal through constriction and relaxation of sphincters?
I wasn't going as low as the sphincter. I was thinking a little higher, like the esophagus.
That's exactly right. Holy cow. What a brilliant comeback for peristalsis.
Susie, you can set the mood for your Christmas in July party with the CD Blame It on Christmas, including such memorable tunes as The Lil' Endless Summer Boy, Joy to the Third World, and Schlep the Halls with Loaves of Challah from School Kids Records. Sarah, from Lipstick to Monkeys and Pigs to Pangea, you'll find it all in Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you wanted to know from Source Books. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Hannah Poth, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical Director Tom Blaine, with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. Special thanks to our guests, Patricia Marks and Andrew Daly. This is Stephanie Lee, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
PRI, Public Radio International.